Amen and amen. Now, I want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter with me here, where Paul is approaching the people of Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them, and they were walking in faith. They had a great deal of faith and love, and they were coming along, but just like we are today, they had some areas that they needed to improve on. And so I'm looking at this scripture in verse 10, in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, it says this, Night and day I'm praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, the New Living Translation says, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. To fill the gaps in your faith. And so, you know, that we fit that. You know, I've discovered no matter how long I've been walking with the Lord, I can improve. I can grow. My faith can increase. No matter what level it is, there's always room for growth. And I find many times, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to have faith for this area or that area, or, you know. And the same thing Paul was talking to these guys, said, I can't wait to get there with you. And I want to help you and increase your faith to fill in the gaps where you need to be walking in faith and help you to understand. And so I want to share with you tonight about how to get your prayers answered. And don't we all want that? You know, I want my prayers to be answered. I want to know how to pray. And I've discovered, you know, from the moment that I started walking with the Lord, the very night that I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't realize. I'd gotten saved previously 8 years before that. Yes, that 13 to 21. And so I'd been saved, but I did not realize. The only churches that I visited, the guy up front was doing all the talking. Nobody else did anything. Nobody else prayed. Nobody else taught. And I thought it was the guy up front that did all the praying. And so I did not know, in all honesty, that I could pray out loud to God. And so every night from the time I was 13, almost every night, I would pray in my mind and in my head and ask God to take care of my loved ones. And I'd name them off. And that's the only thing I knew to do. I was just praying that God would take care of them and keep them safe. And I had, you know, it was life-changing for me at 13. But I needed to grow in my faith. And so what happened to me that night on March 23rd, 1976, in a home group, what we call life group, when the guy asked me, went around in a group, we broke up in groups, and I had maybe five or six in my group, and the guy that was leading it in all these little groups, the ones leading my group, said, hey, if you pray for somebody tonight, who would it be? And it made me nervous. Oh, everybody named someone, and I just named my brother. I have a brother we're close in age, and we're like Irish twins. We're just so close in age. And so he said, then he went around and said, okay, let's hold hands. Well, that freaked me out, you know. You're holding hands with somebody standing there. How long we got to hold hands, you know. And then he said, okay, I want you to pray for that person that you named. Now, it scared the fire out of me, I'll be honest with you. But it so impressed me. You mean I can pray out loud? You mean I can pray out loud? I mean, it changed something in me. I didn't realize this. And so I've grown through the years of learning how to pray. I wanted to discover from that night the things that happened to me that night. Lord, show me what I've gotten hold of here. What's happened to me? And I want to encourage you tonight, because I know you, like me, you want your prayers answered. And, you know, there's things that the Scripture says, when there's any a sick among you, let him call for the elders and let them pray over him and pray the prayer of faith over them so that they, you know, might be healed, and Jesus will lift them up and they'll be healed. And I want you to understand something about that, that it says, call for the elders and let them pray for you. Let them anoint you with oil and pray for you. But listen, let me be so honest, and I'm not demeaning the office of an elder, the office of the pastor. I believe that these offices, that office of prophet and apostle and an evangelist, pastor, and teacher, there are gifts that go with that office. There may be people that are pastoring, but they may not be functioning in that office. I believe there are gifts, and I don't want to go there and teach on that. But just because I have Reverend Stan Roberts / elder behind my name doesn't mean I have this special anointing that, okay, he's named now. He's got this tag on him as elder, and so God's going to answer all my prayers. No, it's typically, I look at it as the person that you would tag as an elder. He's a spiritual leader amongst you, and he's learned how to pray. That's the thing, the prayer of faith. He didn't say the prayer of that anointed one called. No, he said the prayer of faith. They've just learned how to pray in faith. They're your spiritual leaders. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that you can't learn how to pray in faith. That's what I've learned over the years. And so I want to teach you tonight. I want to give you some practical steps about how to get your prayers answered, how to get your prayer life to where it's effective, where it makes a difference, okay? Y'all all with me? Y'all willing to go there with me? Okay, so I want us to do that. And tonight I'm going to try to, I've got maybe 7 points here to show you little steps toward doing that. And typically I think sometimes I give too many scriptures. It's like you're sitting in a lecture, you know. So I'm going to prove out every point, but I'm going to try to get you to study a little bit. You go back and go over the notes, and you can get those on our app and online with your YouVersion. So, but anyway, I want to show you some areas about how to get your prayers answered. And then so I may just kind of brush over some of these scriptures. Some I'll stop and let you read, but one of the things, and I'm going to use Seal as an example. Seal and David, they're sitting here on the second row. The nervous one that was up here a moment ago that did such a great job. I think she did fabulous. And I remember them when they prayed for their home, the home they live in now. I remember Seal giving us the testimony that when she began to pray, she realized, I need to be specific in my prayer. I need to tell God just what I'm praying for, this kind of house that I'm praying for. I think one of them was, I want this certain kind of tree. She probably told how it's supposed to look, knowing Seal and the artsy kind of a person she is, and she's a great artist. I want a tree that looks just like this. But I remember when they got their house, I can remember one of those things, I think, was the tree. They probably all these other things, but I remember the tree. But the thing was, she was very specific about what she was praying for. And I wonder sometimes, we're thinking that God's just going to read our minds and then bless us with what we want. He wants to hear what we want. And He wants us to be specific in our prayer. And many times we don't have what we're wanting because we don't ask, or we ask amiss. And so the second one is, you've got to ask God for what you want. Now, of course, that's out of James, the 4th chapter. And about verse 2 and 3, you don't have because you don't ask. Or you're asking with the wrong motive. You got the wrong motive in why you're asking, okay? And so you've got to ask God for what you want. 2 Corinthians 4:4, where again, we're talking about filling in the gaps where we lack in faith. We need to not lack in faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it talks about the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I'm talking about receiving by faith. You need to be asking God what you want and asking in faith. And listen, you have someone, an adversary, who's trying to blind your eyes from seeing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If he can stop you right now and say, you can't believe God for great things, he's blinding your eyes. Why don't we step out in faith and ask God for what we want? That's according to His Word. God, this is in a provision. This is in the atonement. You said I could ask for this, so I'm asking. This is what I want to see, Lord. This is what I want to see. Whether it's for you or for another situation. Don't let the devil blind your eyes to how God wants to reach down and impact your life and use you for great things. Okay. So receiving by faith. Now here's where you write down this note, Hebrews 11:6. It's not in the notes there, but we need to receive by faith before we even see it in the natural. Now, this freaks people out that are not thinking spiritually, right? What are you talking about asking and believing? I got it before I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. See, you're operating in the natural realm. See, Hebrews, and this is Hebrews 11:6. It talks about faith. It talks of without faith, you can't please God. The interesting thing it says in that verse is that those who come unto God must believe that He is. And secondly, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. And firstly, when I was reading that, I thought, that's kind of strange. Why would you even be coming to God unless you believe that He is? Well, there's a lot of people that go to God and beg God. They don't even believe God for who He is, that He's their Father, and He's made provisions for them, and He wants to bless you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to answer your prayers, but you're not asking in faith. You're not pleasing God by going and begging and whining and crying. I mean, God hears the cry of the soul, and he'll stand there with you and love on you because you're whining and crying and brokenhearted. But there's a time he wants you to step up in faith and believe him for who he is. He's your Father who is in covenant with you. So when you come to God, believe that he is. He is the God above all gods. He's still a miracle-working God. He's still a God to be found. And you've got to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means if you diligently seek him, he's going to reward you for that. That's what God does. So you got to ask God for what you want. Because 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so let's go down to Romans 3:4. God forbid. Here's the thing. When you hear all these stories going on, God's saying one thing, and then your eyes are saying another, or somebody else in your family is saying another. You can't believe God for that. What are you talking about? And here in Romans, it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. New Living Translation says, even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. You know what we got to do is believe God and act like his word is true. Act like his word is true. Amen. If you don't, then we're just operating in our senses. We're missing the faith realm entirely when we're doing that. Number three, I'm just trying to help you in your prayer life. Be positive in your thinking. Let every thought and desire affirm what you're asking for. Don't ever allow a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. I didn't say that it wouldn't come to you. Don't let it remain there. You can't allow doubt to stay. You got to combat doubt. Doubt can come. It can influence you. But you can't allow it to stay there. Are you with me? I'm talking about getting our prayers answered. If doubt persists, then you've got to rebuke it. You've got to get your mind on the Word of God. You're God's kid. James 4:7 says, here's a couple of scriptures. James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So you have an adversary that you're supposed to be resisting. And you're supposed to stand against and resisting him and stand against him because he's wanting to devour you. And I wrote down this thought, is that the enemy will devour us in our minds before he ever gets to the outside. That's why I'm talking about not entertaining doubt. Entertain God's word. You got to resist the doubt and thoughts of failure. Because he's going to defeat you in your mind ever before it gets to the outside. Because it's not going to come to the outside if you're not believing it in here. This is the battleground, is your mind. Amen. So he attacks us in these areas like fear, anxiety, jealousy, doubt. See, he's attacking you here before it's ever manifested on the outside. Amen. What we've got to do is resist doubt like we resist these other areas of life. Fear? Don't you resist fear? Don't you resist anxiety? Anger? Don't you resist anger? You should be. You shouldn't be having fits of rage. Proverbs says the guy that's having a fits of rage is acting a fool. I've done that plenty of times, you know. And I got to resist allowing myself to have a fit of rage or be angry. Well, I need to resist doubt the same way. When the enemy would get me to doubt God's word, that's where he wants me to be. So, doubting God is of the devil. It's the devil's plan, is to get you to doubt God, doubt his word. So you got to resist the doubts and rebuke them. And what you need to do is get your mind on the answer. That's God's word. See, I've got to control my thinking. Reject any blindness or thoughts that contradict the word of God. Now, here's the thing. You, in your walk of faith, there'll be times that you'll have things that come to you like, oh, I had a dream, or I had a vision, or I had this impression, or I had this suggestion, and What you've got to do is decipher whether that dream, that vision, that impression was of the devil or of God. You got to judge it out. Did that come from God or did it come from the enemy? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Listen, if those thoughts that you're having is not of the Word, not of God, then they're of the enemy. You low down, measly failure. You'll never amount to anything. You're just a worm. You'll never amount to anything. God's not telling you that. So the devil, you know what? He's a liar. And he's a thief. And he's a defeated foe. And you want Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Write down Romans 8, 10 through 11. And I'm going to read from the Living Bible. And you got to realize you got the Holy Ghost inside. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, I'm just taking a little side trail here. The Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. There's a dynamic to this promise of God that I have to try to wrap my head around, that even after I die, the Holy Spirit is going to be connected to me. He's going to be part of me. Even after I die, He doesn't disconnect from me. And I'll show you what I mean by that. In verse 10, yet even though Christ lives within you, and this is the truth, your body will die because of sin. That's because sin coming into the world. It's not because your specific sin, it's because Adam messed things up and these bodies are going to wear out. Well, that's the grace of God, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't get to the next level. But he said, but here's the thing. But your spirit will live, for Christ has pardoned it. He pardoned your spirit. You don't have to go to hell and pay for your sins. He's pardoned you in your spirit. That pardon, y'all getting this, is a provision in God's Word. Provision in God's work on the cross. A provision for you. But see, He did more. There's other provisions that He made for you than your ticket to heaven. Now, let's go on, verse 11. And if the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, now the King James says He'll quicken your mortal body. I'm just going to take my time and share many multiple things, my thought patterns. Stay with me, okay? We used to teach this, that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, Scripture says He'll quicken your mortal body in the King James, and we utilize that toward, okay, got the Holy Ghost in you. He's going to heal you. He's going to heal this body. Right? And that's part of a provision that by His stripes we were healed, but that's not exactly what this Scripture is talking about. So let me expound on it. He says, if the same who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, He will make your dying bodies live again after you die. He's talking about a resurrected body. Woo! By means of the same Holy Spirit living within you. So see, what that's telling me is, even once I leave this earth suit, this machine quits working, and I lay it down, and I go on, my soul and spirit go to the Father, the Holy Ghost goes with me. He's always connected to me even after I leave this earth suit, and one day by the Holy Spirit in me, God's going to give me a new body, a resurrected body like Jesus has got. Amen. That's exciting to me. The Holy Ghost is inside of me. My spirit man. And He never leaves me, man. It's amazing. But I also have Him as a guide and comforter, instructor, shows me things to come. He helps me do battle against the devil. It's exciting. Well, I've got all these stories. I just want to go sidetrack, but I'll never get to the end, okay? Well, I'm going here anyway. This is one I've just got to tell you. Kathy's not here, so I can reminisce all I want to, right? And none of y'all are going to tattle on me, are you? Okay. I was doing a funeral. Okay, y'all better not tattle him again. I was doing a funeral, and this young woman had passed away, 30s, of cancer. Beautiful young woman, loved the Lord. And I'm sitting up on the platform, and that second song in her funeral service was playing, and I suddenly saw a vision. The Lord, I saw her standing. I'm sitting there looking this way. She's standing here, and I see this translucent, almost a watery veil in front of her. And I see her step through that veil. I knew what it was in my spirit. It was stepping from the veil of this life to the next. She stepped through the veil, and as she stepped through, somebody had her by the hand, and she turned and she looked, and she said, "Oh, it's you. You were the one that was there when I needed comfort. You were the one there that strengthened me, that guided me." It was the Holy Spirit had her by the hand and led her through death like He has led her through life. And the Holy Spirit was with her all the time. Now, He gave me that specifically to share that with the family, but it was such a sweet lesson to me that the Holy Ghost is going to be with me all the time. Even when I'm doing battle with the enemy, even when I'm resisting the devil, I got the Holy Ghost to guide me. And I can resist the enemy. He's a devil, and he's a thief, and a liar, and he's a defeated foe. And you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Don't ever be afraid of the devil. Amen? Amen. So, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And I got to hurry because I got only 7 minutes. 1 John 5:14-15. God's Word tells us that you have your answer if you base it on your petition on the Word of God and believing that you receive it when you pray. Mark 11:22-24 talks about having faith in God. And it says, "Wherefore anybody that says unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth those things which he saith will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith." And then whatever you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive them, it says in verse 24, "and ye shall have them." The funny thing is, it says, believe when you pray. You receive them and you have them. If you want your prayers answered, base your prayer and your faith on God's Word. God's Word says you have it before you ask for it. It's provisionally given to you like the provision of going to heaven. These bodies are going to quit, but our spirit's going to go on to heaven. We've been pardoned, but there are provisions in this walk that you can utilize and implement into your life and believe God for before you even see them. That's faith. That's not saying, "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." No, we be men and women of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Are y'all with me so far? You want your prayers answered? Get in faith in God's Word. And so what happens is that kind of faith can move mountains when you believe before you even see it. And when you do that, you're appropriating God's Word by faith into your situation. So faith's confession creates a reality. So you got to stand your ground and refuse to be defeated. Number four, guard your mind. You got to guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind and that tries to make you doubt God's Word. You got to guard your mind. Somebody's got to do it. It needs to be you. See, your thoughts. You have a thought life that's, you're making decisions because of your thought life. Your thought life needs to be and is governed. It's governed by certain things. You need to take over governing your thought life. Your thought life and the way you think, your paradigm of thinking, it's governed by observation. It's governed by association. You think a certain way because you observe something. You observed it, and then many times you'll associate things that you observe with other things. So your thought line is governed by things that connect, right? You connect the dots. So I don't think I need to chase that very far. But by association, you can connect God's Word to observing God. God is God. He's God above all gods. He's created the heavens and the earth. There's none like Him or above Him. And so I observe that He is God, right? Everybody's God. Everybody knows that God is God, right? I mean, he's the man. Well, then can I associate His Word with Him? God's the Creator. And when God gives me His Word, can I not associate His Word with Him? That His Word is above all else, that His Word is true, and that He's faithful to His Word. And then some of that is being governed by teaching, the way that you're taught. And that's, you know, that's why sometimes, and I'm going to step out and faith, that's sometimes why you got to stay away from certain groups of people, groups that put unbelief and doubt into you. You need to enjoy the fellowship of those who contribute to your faith. Get around people that'll be speaking faith into your life, because I need an answer. You know, I've noticed that There's people who, they don't believe in the provisions in the atonement and on the cross of healing by his stripes. Oh, that died with the apostles. But I guarantee you, when they get a bad diagnosis, they're the first to show up and get their thinking straight. And I want to hang around with people that believe God with me and get me healed, because I ain't ready to die. All right? And you got to be careful of who you associate with. I don't know, you probably heard this saying. It's an old saying. If you run with the dogs, you'll get fleas. So, I mean, you run with folks that don't believe, you're gonna catch that. Or you know what, you'll be thinking like they're thinking. Amen? And so, 2 Corinthians 10:5, God has given you instructions. You and I, tonight, you need to govern your thoughts. I can't govern them for you. You need to govern your thoughts. I can give you the Word and let the Word work on that, and Holy Spirit use that, but there comes a time you've got to govern your thoughts and your thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations. That's governing my thoughts. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means I'm taking a step. I am going to govern my thought life. When these thoughts come in that are contrary to the Word of God and who I am in Christ, I've got to take that and cast it down, bring it into submission to the Word of God and say, no, the Word of God says this. I know this is what I'm seeing, but I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith in God's Word. What I believe in God's Word can change what I'm seeing. Everything that you see is temporal. Everything you see is temporal. But the things that you don't see are the eternal things. Those are eternal. Amen. Casting down imagination. Philippians 4:8, and I'll just reference that because I'm running out of time. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, and if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Many of us are defeated. You're defeated because you're thinking on the wrong things. Oh, the what ifs. But. I know, God, I know you're saying this, but. We're not designed to be goats. We're sheep. Right? We're defeated so many times because we're thinking the wrong thing. Amen. You've got to guard your mind in order to develop your faith. Here's a quote from Keith Craft. The greatest battle you will ever fight will be against the way you think. That has always kept you where you are because of the way you are. Did you hear that? It's kept you where you are because of the way you are. Your greatest battle is the way you think. If you want to change your circumstances and be somewhere else, you got to change the way that you think. Romans 12:2. Meditate on the words of God, on God's promises. Guard your mind and meditate on His promises. Proverbs 4:20, very familiar scripture. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart out from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. His Word. His Word. For they are life unto those who find them. You want to find life and health? Find God's Word. He says it's health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you need to do is meditate on your answer and see yourself with the answer. See yourself with the answer. Envision God's promises coming true in your life. And see yourself with the answer. Meditate on His Word. If you don't stand by the Word of God, listen to me. If you don't stand by the Word of God, although God wants to stand by you, He can't. Because God works through His Word. He's working through His Word and with His Word. That's what He does. He works in line with His Word, and He's bound Himself to His Word. If you come contrary to that, it's like you're not giving Him something to work with. Psalms 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name, all thy name. Now, when I read that, I thought, okay, what does that exactly mean? You've magnified your word above all thy name. So sometimes I have to kind of migrate from the King James over to another, a little lower English level on my level, you know. Now the New Living Translation expounds on that. It says, "For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." God's faithful. His name means something. He gives you His word. you can bank on it. And He backs His promises. So you got to give Him something to work with. Real quickly, two more. Here's a key right here. This is a real key. This can be a deal breaker if you don't do this. Okay? You've got to thank God for the answer. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. There's a key to having a thankful heart. Because when you have a thankful heart, you're seeing your answer coming. You're operating in faith. When you have a thankful heart, you've already looked like you're receiving it. Listen to the Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition. Prayer and petition is a definite request, isn't it? Specific prayer. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Continue to make your wants known to God. See, sometimes there's a battle and you've got to keep in there and just thank you, God. I may not see it, but I know my answer is right around the corner. It's coming because your word said it was. And you're true to your word. Father, you back your word. And it's coming. So the thing of it is, if you're consistently fretting or you're in anxiety, you know, you can fast and pray all you want to, but what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for failure. Are you with me? So you got to get a hold of that. Now listen, 1 John 5, write this down. Didn't bring your notepad, reach over to your husband and say, darling, let me borrow your arm, I'll write this down, I'll wash it off later, okay? I'll do that. So write this down. 1 John 5, write down verse 14 and 15. And it says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Don't you want confidence when you approach God? Don't you want to be a confident child of God, son or daughter of God? Here's the confidence that we have in God. That if we ask anything according to His will, God is hearing us. You can be so confident that when you're praying according to the will of God, you've got God's attention. Now the key is you've got to know what His will is. What is His will? His Word. So if His Word gives you a promise to stand on, then you already got an in with God. And you can be confident that when you ask and pray according to that will, God's paying attention. Let's see what else He says. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, because we're asking according to His Word, right? And we know this, that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. What an amazing promise. That is an amazing promise right there. You being a son or daughter of God, you can be so confident that when you're praying according to God's Word, God's listening, and God's going to move on your behalf, knowing that what you ask, the petitions you ask, you're going to get. That is amazing. And you don't go by what you see. You go by God's Word. He's going to back His Word. Amen? So you got to thank God for your answer. And the last one, make every prayer a statement of your faith. Don't pray in unbelief. Make your prayer a statement of your faith. A statement of your faith. That's why I love our worship song so much. Man, it's my faith coming out. I mean, when we're singing, that's my heart. That's like I'm singing my heart. So my prayer life should be the same way. It shouldn't be a statement of doubt and unbelief. It should be a statement of my faith. And when you're thinking faith thoughts and you're speaking the words of faith, that's going to lead your heart out of defeat into victory. Here's a key that I gained years ago. When you talk about a confession of faith, when you talk about this confession, there's a confession of faith and a confession unto faith. It's just one word interchange, but it means two different things. It's two different positional things of levels of where you are. A confession of faith is where you want to be. I want my confession, what I say, and I want it to be of faith. Man, I don't have any doubts it's going to be of faith, because faith moves mountains, right? And so I know that, but sometimes I'm at that person, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But what I need to do is make sure my confession lines up with God's Word. It's a confession unto faith. Well, God, I know it looks like this, but Your Word says this. And so that's what I'm going to say. God, Your Word says that I'm more than a conqueror, that I'm not defeated, that in Christ Jesus, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm having a hard time seeing that in the mirror, but God, I'm believing it. So I'm going to confess, I'm more than a conqueror. And you get up every morning, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. This is how you go, like this. I'm more than a conqueror. And then one day, it's just like, yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. Woo, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. Suddenly you transition a confession unto faith to a confession of faith. What I'm doing is I'm governing my thoughts and I'm governing my tongue. My confession. I'm governing what I say. I'm making it line up with the Word of God. Does that make sense to anybody? That's why we got to be careful. That kind of got out of control years ago and we had mouth monitors running everywhere, you know. Hey, be careful what you say there. But it's got to work inside of you, right? Amen. Romans 4:17. Just two more scriptures, that one and James 5. Romans 4:17, as it is written. He's talking to Abraham, Father Abraham, and Abraham's faith, how it was passed down, not just to Abraham, but unto Isaac and Jacob's seed as well, all the promises of God to Abraham. And he says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God. Now he's going to say something about God. God who quickeneth the dead, makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they are. Now see, that is a level you and I need to get at. In a sense, now I'm not talking about goofiness. I'm talking about reality of our faith. God calleth those things that be not as though they are. You and I need to be calling those things that be not as though they are. And understand what that means. It's not in the natural realm, but it is in the spirit realm. God says you're more than a conqueror. In the natural realm, you look like a wimp. Puny little wimp and a worm. But God says in Him, you're more than a conqueror. So God, you know what? The devil's telling me I'm a wimp. But you know what? In You, I'm more than a conqueror. So I'm going to speak. I'm more than a conqueror. Speak those things that be not as though they are. And God, I am blessed because I am You. God, You're blessing me to make a blessing. You said if I serve You, I'll be blessed going out and I'll be blessed coming in. I'll be the head, not the tail. I'll be above and not beneath. You speak God's Word. It may not see it, but it'll come into manifestation. As you have creative words of faith, then it will manifest as you stand in faith. Whoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, but believe those things which not doubt, but believe those things which he saith have come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And he said, believe in God. Are y'all getting this? I mean, you got to speak your faith. Speak those things that be not as though they are. God, You're my source. You supply all my needs. I know I got this bill that needs to be paid. Well, God, You supply all my needs. Oh, praise God. I got burned once with a rod. As a welder, you're going to get burned. That's just the way it is. But I remember I had all these clothes. It was a winter. And had all these clothes on. I had my torch, and we're rigging up, and we're fast and furious. And I had these heavy gloves on because it was so cold out in the wintertime. And I picked up this one little rod that's about the size of my little finger. And I was going to weld on. So I cut it off of my torch. And I thought I had dropped it out of my glove. And then when I reached to turn my torch off, I jabbed it into my stomach, that molten metal. So it burned this hole, went right under my belt, and just burned a big old hole right there, you know. And that was the start of the day. We're rigging up. This can't hurt because I got stuff to do, you know. And I just said, Lord, You're the healer. I just lifted my hands and said, thank You, Lord Jesus. You're my healer. It's like it never felt another thing. It's like it healed up and never had any problems with it. And I was speaking my faith. I thought it was a burn, but God, I'm the healed. You're the healer, and I'm healed and never had any signs or symptoms of the burn. It's amazing. Last scripture, James 5:16, and I'm going to close with this one. And it says this, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another. Now listen, wait a minute. How are you going to do that with that relationship? Come on. How are you going to do that without relationship? We need to be in relationship with one another. That's why we need to be part of life groups and doing life together. Spending time so that I know if I tell you my false slips, my faults, my missteps, my sins, you're not going to go out and get on the radio. All right? Facebook. Okay, that's a side trail. Okay. But you and I need to be in relationship with one another, and I need to go and say, hey, Paul, man, I got a problem, man. I did this. I got angry today, and I need some prayer. And I'm not thinking right because I'm mad. And I lost my temper. And I need you to pray for me, brother. Now let's see what it says. So that you might pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. See, our relationship is to keep us toned up in our spiritual mind and heart. So we're thinking right. And we're speaking right. I need to hang out with you so you can lift me up when I'm down, and I can lift you up when you're down. Right? Now let's go on and see what else it says. When it's talking about praying for one, it says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Who's he talking about? You think, hey, I need my prayer answer. Be there a righteous man in the house. I mean, that's kind of goofy. Where am I going to find one of these? Well, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about a person that is right standing before God, standing on God's promises. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Do you realize you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? In Christ Jesus, God looks at you and sees right standing. He sees righteous. He doesn't see all your missteps and your faults. He sees the blood of the Lamb. Y'all with me? He's talking about you. Okay, he says the heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. He's talking about your prayer life. You get your act together and pray in faith, realize who you are, you can move mountains with your prayer. Your prayers can be answered. Your prayers will work. Are you seeing this? Your prayers make a difference. So we need to pray in faith for people. Pray. Man, pray. The Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Believe that it's going to happen. See it happening. And see what God will do. See the lives that He'll touch. So let's discover tremendous power that's available to us in our prayer life when we really live out who we are. You be who you are and see what God does. And you know what? He gets the glory. Amen. Well, let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God. And folks, there's people around us that need people who will pray in faith. Amen? And you say, well, I ain't seen it yet. Get ready. It'll come. There'll be a time in your life somebody needs you to pray. They need you to step up and stand in the gap when they can't do it. There's so many people that are beat down and hurt and battling innocent casualties of spiritual warfare. They need an anointing to touch their life. You're the person that can touch their life. And believe God. Let's pray. Pray and believe God. Amen? Your prayer needs to be effective. And I pray tonight. Now, listen, in closing, I challenge you, just as a pastor and love you, put these things into practice. Okay, God, we got a situation here. What does your word say about that? How can I pray about it? What are the promises I can stand on? And then I'm going to lay out my petition. Here's my petition. And Lord, I'm going to bring that petition to you in faith, and I believe that according to your word, you're going to answer that and then see what God does. God, there's times He wants you to experience Him. In Micah, where it talks about tithing, no, that's Malachi, where it talks about tithing, bring the tithe in the storehouse, God says, prove me herewith, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even contain. Another translation, I was studying that out in Hebrew, where it says, prove me, God said, experience me. Experience me. Experience the fact that I'll be faithful to my word. See, God's wanting you to experience Him in your faith, in your walk of faith. Right? God wants you to experience. He's waiting on you. That's something I've discovered about the Holy Ghost. He's always ready. We're waiting and thinking we got to stir something up to get him all ready. He's always ready. He's waiting on you and I to position ourselves, posture ourselves for God to move in our life. Amen? Well, let me pray over you. Thank you for your patience. And I'm just praying that God will bless you this week. And I pray that He'll inspire you. I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost just don't turn you loose. He get a hold of you, and He may wake you up in the middle of the night, and it'll come back to you. Well, I need to be believing God. I need to be believing God until you get up to believing God, okay? Lord, I'm losing sleep. I better start believing you, Lord. Father, I do. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and move mightily in our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, you're our guide. You are our one and only anointed guide that guides us in God's Word, guides us in the steps of our life, guides us to understand. You teach us. You show us things to come. Guides us in our heart attitudes. You comfort us and bring the reality of truth to our hearts and lives, that this life is not the end of it. You're our guide, and I pray that you'll guide us in our prayer life because, God, I know you want our prayer life to be effective. You want people to know that you love them. You want people to know that you're abounding toward them, and that you made provision for our lives, and to not just wait for the sweet by and by, but to live our lives out in victory, Lord God, giving praise to you and impacting the lives around us. So God, I pray for everyone here tonight. Holy Spirit, you know how to reach and touch every one of our hearts in such a special way. I pray that you'll illuminate and quicken our minds with understanding, give us eyes to see what you want to show us, how to appropriate faith into our lives, how to believe God for who He is, and believe His Word for what He says, and that He backs up His Word and He's faithful. Lord, let us be a praying people, a people of faith, Lord God, to Your glory, not ours, but to Your glory, Father. You're a real and living Father and God. You're a God of compassion and a Father of comfort. And Lord, I pray that You'll guide us every step of our life tonight. Show us, Father, how to pray to Your glory. And Lord, I pray tonight for my brothers and sisters. There's needs in here tonight. Lord, and I know that there's a need there's not a need in here that's too small nor too great that You haven't provided for by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that You'll meet my brothers and sisters' needs tonight and show them how to pray for those things and see it manifest in their hearts and lives today. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on my brothers and sisters as they go out this week. Lord, that their light will shine in a world of darkness, that there'll be a witness in a world that's looking for an answer. Lord, that our days will be prosperous and productive in You, and whatever we lay our hands to will prosper. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.